red, yellow, and burning orange. Dean knelt on the cropped turf a few yards away, puzzling over a chessboard.
Glad to play and mate in three, Father?
Christy was there, wearing a long print dress, her feet bare. She lay on a pile of Turkish cushions, the material decorated with tiny shards of mirror that caught and reflected the brightness of the noon sun.
Don't ask your father. You know the only way to learn is by solving problems yourself.
Sure. I think I'm going in for a spell. Practice my viola.
Dean walked across the lawn toward the half-timbered house, past the mullioned windows, and in through a heavy iron-studded door, moving with an easy, coltish grace. Ryan watched him go, his heart swelling with pride for his son. Christy stood to join him, pushing the hammock so that it swung gently from side to side. She leaned over him, her right hand brushing over his naked chest, then lower, caressing him through the thin material of his cotton pants, smiling at his instant reaction to her.
Perhaps we should do something about that, lover.
Ryan glanced toward the house, worried in case they were being watched. But a massive purple buddleia, its fronds attracting dozens of beautiful butterflies, kept them safely concealed from prying eyes.
Why not?
Though he wasn't aware of either of them taking off their clothes, they were both naked. Christy had gently tied his hands to one end of the hammock, his ankles to the other.
This will heighten the pleasure, lover.
She sat firmly astride him, leaned forward, and kissed him sweetly on the lips, gripping his thighs with her heels.
Soon, lover.
Christy's mane of sentient hair tumbled across her shoulders, her teeth showing white in the sunshine, her nipples peaking with desire, hard and firm. The sun went in, and a cold wind blew up the valley. Christy reached into her flame-bright hair and plucked out a long steel needle, its point glittering coldly. It was about 6 inches long, tipped with a perfect pink pearl.
Wait a minute. No pain.
Ryan tugged at the silken bonds, unable to move them. The red-haired beauty smiled in delight at his futile efforts to escape her. She lifted herself up, then lowered onto him, guiding him inside her with her left hand, then wriggling from side to side. Despite the horror of the situation, Ryan found that he was rock hard inside her.
Pain is good, lover.
Suddenly, Christy's sin was like parchment, her eyes a milky, scummy green. She moved quicker, rising and falling, and Ryan knew that he was nearing climax. Her now gnarled hand, gripping the long steel needle, rested on his cheek. The point, blurred in his vision, moved back and forth across his eye.
One eye good, no eyes better. You move into darkness, so you need only see the darkness.
Ryan blinked his good eye shut, feeling a tiny prickling as the point of the needle probed at the closed eyelid.
Open up, lover. I want to get the timing just right. Feel you come inside me the same moment that I stab out your eye.
It was no longer Christy who straddled him in the wildly swinging hammock. The woman was unbelievably old, her skin sweating with ancient evil, her rheumy eyes glistening down at Ryan's agony, her straggling matted hair lying lank across the yellowed, goat-like skull.
I'm not her, lover. Never was her. That flame-haired bitch with her Gaia powers and her fucking mother, Sonia.
Ryan closed his eye again, but the crone was pinching at his face, squeezing his good eye between finger and thumb, forcing it open. He was forced to look up at the needle as he sped the last seconds in a pounding orgasm. Ryan recovered first. His head hurt, with a band of steel clamped around his temples. Slowly, and with infinite caution, Ryan lifted his right hand toward his closed eye, his good right eye, touching it with fingers that trembled. He blinked it open and saw armorglass walls of a dull dark brown, showing that they had successfully jumped somewhere else. The discs and floor and ceiling had ceased to glow, and the mist near the top of the gateway had almost vanished. He felt terrible, his brain still being chewed around inside his head. The slightest movement produced murderous vertigo that led in turn to violent sickness. Ryan decided to lie still for a while, until his body recovered from the shock of the jump. He could still taste the burning gasoline that had given them the flaming send-off. Ryan blinked again, lifting a hand to rub at his eye with his sleeve. There was something lying just inside the door of the chamber. Some kind of small animal. Whatever it was, Ryan decided that it was no threat to him. It had the unmistakable stillness of death. He crawled a few inches closer, peering at it.
It's a hand.
Ryan squinted, realizing that JB was correct. It was a human hand, dark-skinned, with the end joint of the middle finger missing from an old wound. Three thin bracelets of woven hair encircled the wrist. Ryan took a chance at sitting up, steadying himself against the cold armaglass wall. He saw that the severed hand had been cut off a few inches above the wrist, halfway toward the elbow. It was a startlingly clean wound, with very little blood, the two ends of bone showing as white and clean as if a massive guillotine had been used on them.
Looks like a poor bastard got the door open as the jump was taking place. We brought his hand with us. Rest of it must have stayed and bled back in the jungle.
Fire blast. You look worse than I feel. You have bad dreams?
Seemed like I was drowning in a small sealed room under the sea. Too realistic for me.
I was being fucked and murdered at the same time. By... by this evil old slut.
Dark Knight.
JB tried to stand, using the shotgun as a crutch, but his strength failed him, and he dropped back to his hands and knees.
You think the others have had such a bastard bad jump?
Hope not, for their sake. Might have been something to do with the Metrans being used twice so close together, or the equipment might have malfunctioned.
You think we've reached the same place?
Find out soon enough. I'd have thought they might have been letting us know they were here by now.
Yeah.
There could be any of 100 reasons why Christy and the others weren't already opening up the heavy door and greeting their safe arrival. But the most likely and the most menacing was that they'd somehow jumped to a different destination. The LD button might have failed to work.
You feel up to moving?
Ready when you are. As long as I don't have to run or fight or do anything more than a gentle stroll, then I'm your man, Ryan.
JB pushed a hand against the walls and stood, rocking from side to side, his eyes pinwheeling behind the lenses of his glasses.
Let's do it.
Ryan drew the Sig Sauer, checked that the Steyr was snug over his shoulder, then opened the door. He saw the usual small side room that stood between the actual Matrans chamber and the main control area. It was about 10 feet square, bare of furniture, with a couple of empty shelves on the wall to the right. Through the open doorway beyond it, Ryan could see the rows of desks, computers, and monitor screens that typified that section of the military redoubts. He stepped out of the chamber, JB right at his heels, and sniffed the air, finding it had the arid and flat taste typical of most gateways. The redoubts had mostly been built during the last years of the 20th century, mainly in out-of-the-way places in the wilderness regions of the country. Despite the bitter and fruitless objections of the powerful conservation lobby, these often happened to be in national parks. The redoubts had been powered by the most sophisticated nuke plants, designed to run on carefully planned comp programs without any human interference. This meant that after Skydark, many of the surviving redoubts carried on running themselves, ignorant of the fact that their human masters were already dead. So the stabilization procedures involving cleaning, security, and air conditioning were still working in most of the redoubts. A faded piece of pink paper on the wall was tacked to the off-white plaster. Ryan checked it out before going on to examine the rest of the gateway complex. It was already obvious that Christy and the others weren't in the immediate vicinity.
What is it?
It says, Redoubt 47's own theater group invites you to their January production, Whip It Out and Wipe It. A review written by Officer Jim Lawrence. Take your mind off the troubles, Monday through Friday, 1900 hours. That's all.
Must have been just before Skydark. The intensity of the military situation would have been the troubles it mentions.
Let's go check out the rest of the place.
The main control area was in excellent shape, with no sign of any structural damage or electrical failure. The banks of control showed flickering lights and whirling dials.
No clue anyone's been here for 100 years. Main sectors are closed.
Yeah. I reckon I can just about smell sweat.
Sure you're not imagining it?
Maybe.
They have to have come this way.
Why didn't they wait?
Too many possible answers to that, friend. I reckon I can smell sweat as well.
Better get the sec doors open.